federal funding of public broadcasting has been a point of debate off and on since the system's founding more than 30 years ago. But more recently, it's become an almost annual battle. This year, just before Congress's summer recess, a House subcommittee approved a bill to phase out public broadcasting funding by 2015. The measure will be part of budget negotiations this fall, and as it's discussed, we'll hear familiar arguments. Opponents will say, why does public broadcasting need taxpayer dollars when other media organizations survive without them? And supporters will counter that public radio and TV still fulfill a critical role in the country's news and information landscape. Our guest today is a veteran of this back and forth over funding. We're talking this hour with NHPR President and CEO Betsy Gardella. In addition to her role in the state, Gardella sits on the NPR board and is deeply involved in fundraising issues there, along with other challenges, tops among them staying current with new media, new methods of listening and accessing programs to meet a new generation of digital natives. Today in The Exchange, Betsy Gardella is here to talk about the road ahead for public radio and to answer your questions and comments. So let's hear from you now. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. What direction do you want our news service to take in the future, either in terms of the content or the different ways you access that content? And what's your take on the federal funding debate? Again, it's your chance to talk with the president of the radio news service you listen to. So join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email or post a comment on our Facebook page. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. And Betsy, welcome to our studios. Good to see you on this side of the microphone.
Thank you so much. It's just great to be here.
Well, let's dive right into that federal funding issue, Betsy, because I know that you get lots of questions about this when you go out and meet with people in different communities. Make the case for us, Betsy, why taxpayer money should help fund this and other public radio stations.
Well, let's back up for a second and clarify a couple of things about the public radio landscape, because one of the things that I've noticed when I'm out in the community talking to listeners is that there's a lot of confusion around how public radio is organized. Public radio stations are independent, non-commercial companies. Many people, the shorthand in public radio is NPR, but that is couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, we are all independent public radio stations. We raise our revenue to support the programming that we present and the community initiatives that we operate. And what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does is support individual public radio stations.
That's the CPB that we hear debated
CPB,
in Congress.
CPB, so we can use CPB as the shorthand. CPB is the federal agency that has supported us since its creation in, I think, in like 1968 with the Communications Act. So there is a long history of this, and this is considered by many to be one of the most successful federal grant programs, because that little bit of federal money that we get really leverages, some people say $3, some people say $6 for every dollar that we receive.
So NPR, the big mothership down there in Washington, doesn't receive CPB funding. CPB gives money more to stations like this one.
Yes, they get grants. They can go to CPB if they're trying to start a new initiative. So they might say, you know, we're hoping CPB will help us with a digital project, digital innovation, let's say. They'll get a grant. But the overwhelming amount, the way that CPB works is they get a certain amount of money in their appropriation each year. They take a little bit off the top. Because there's a lot of what they do that supports the system as a whole. But then 75% of what's left goes to television, 25% goes to radio. So the piece that is available to the radio system is a little under $100 million. And that's divided on a formula basis based on our size and our budget size and the audience we serve. That is divided amongst about 400 public radio stations around the country.
Make the philosophical case then, Betsy. Doesn't sound like a lot of money. So why even have it? Why do taxpayers need to help fund, even in a very small way, this radio station and others?
Well, I think that the service that public broadcasting provides is unique in the country. And without the kind of information that public media, and I say public media because I'm talking about what we broadcast, what we have on our digital platforms. I'm talking about television, too. It is very expensive to produce. And a really great way to think about this is if you look at what's happened in the public television space, because they've sort of been struggling in a way that radio hasn't. But there was a time when, and this is not federal funding, but this is the conceptual piece that you're asking about. People have said, well, wait a minute. Why are we funding PBS? Why are we funding public television? Because we have the A&E channel and we have the Discovery channel. And
the History Channel.
We have the History Channel. And if you watch those channels, you're not discovering anything on the Discovery Channel. There is no history on the History Channel. There is no arts on Arts and Entertainment.
Wait a minute.
They
Why
are
do you say that?
Reality shows. There are shows about hoarders. There are shows about bikers. Because to do what public media does costs too much money. They are commercial outlets. And they can't make their profit margins if they're producing high quality, if they're producing Nova, or if they're producing Downton Abbey, or if they're producing Ken Burns. I saw Ken Burns yesterday, and we talked a little bit about this CPB issue, and he said, if the Corporation for Public Broadcasting went away, there would be no more Ken Burns, because 40% of what funds his documentaries is federal funding. So you just, there aren't the resources when there is a profit motive. And I think the sort of the higher level belief, the belief that founded CPB, is that a great nation needs great journalism. We need journalism that sort of keeps us honest. That's the reason why CPB has always had the 2-year advanced funding mandate, because we want to separate the funds that we get from the government from any particular administration. So it's a beautifully designed system. It's not broken. I think it costs Americans something like $1.36 a year, less, way less than a cup of coffee, as we like to say in our fund drives. So, you know, it's a wonderful, I think, community service.
Our phone number for you to join us here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And today in the exchange, we're pulling back the curtain a little bit for you. We're talking with Betsy Gardella, President and CEO of New Hampshire Public Radio since 2005. Join us with your questions and comments. It's your chance to talk to the president of the radio news service that you listen to. Our number, once again, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And Betsy, we have a lot more to talk about than just the funding, but I do have just one or two more questions on this. You said that the funding, as it ends up being in the end, is very small as it affects public radio stations around the country, as it affects this station. We often say that federal funding is a tiny percentage of our overall budget. So do we here at NHPR really need it? Would it be easier just to not have it and then you don't have to deal with the political battle every year?
I'm really glad you asked the question. So let me give the sort of the full picture. What we receive from CPB percentage-wise is about 7% of our annual operating budget, which sounds very small. That 7% in this last year, we don't know what the current year allocation is going to be yet, but last year it was about $365,000.
Now that sounds like real money.
When you put it into dollars, it would be hard for us to make that up, but that's just the beginning of the story. Because if the Corporation for Public Broadcasting went away, all of the things that they pay for would not go away. So the satellite system for public radio is paid for by CPB. Royalties, the music royalties that for public broadcasting are paid for by CPB. So all of those costs would be allocated out to the member stations. And that would take our gap from 365,000, if we stayed steady with our funding, 375 to about $750,000 a year, money that we would have to find to just be steady state. So CPB not only gives us these great community services grants that allow us to strengthen our programming, but they provide the infrastructure that allows us to do what we do. And when you get up to that $750,000, that's $750,000. That would be very, very difficult for us in New Hampshire to make up.
Well, given that the loss of funding is a possibility, given this bill that I mentioned earlier in the House to phase it out by 2015, how much are people at NPR, where you're on the board, making a plan B, or at member stations like this one, making a plan B? All right, we hope this doesn't happen, but we need to start planning just in case.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about it a lot. We did a retreat with our board in February, and we've been doing a lot of scenario planning, financial scenario planning. We worked with a great guy here in the state to design a model for us that really allows us to see in a very intricate way what our options are, how much more money would we need to raise over time. And we did a bunch of scenarios. Let's say it's reduced by 25% and then 50% so that we could ease into it. What would that mean? What expenses would we try to reduce? How can we partner with others? Collaboration is a huge topic in the system. How can NPR take better advantage of our local reporters? Our guys are on the air all the time. Is that a way that we can save money between all of us in the system trying to accomplish this work?
All right. Well, lots more to talk about. Some calls and emails coming in. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. We'll be right back.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and you only have until this Saturday at noon for the early bird drawing for NHPR's car raffle, so don't miss out on your chance to win $2,000 of gas gift cards from Irving Oil and help support NHPR at the same time. Go to NHPR.org to buy your raffle tickets or call 1-888-805-NHPR. New Hampshire weather today, mostly cloudy, some breaks of sunshine, chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms, high temperatures 80 to 85 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, lows 60 to 65. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from New Hampshire Orthopedic Center, keeping bodies in motion on the web at nhoc.com. And from Conway Scenic Railroad, celebrating its 38th year featuring fine dining on the Notch Train. Schedules, menus, and ticket information at conwayscenic.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, NHPR's president, Betsy Gardella, joins us to talk about where this station has been, where she hopes we're going. We've also talked about big questions over federal funding of public media this year. You can join us with your questions or comments at 1-800-892-6477. Where do you want to see this radio station go in the year ahead, whether it's in terms of the news and information offered or the way in which it's delivered? Also, how has technology changed the way you access news, the types of news you seek? Again, it's your chance to talk to the president of the radio news service that you listen to. The number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or post your comment on our Facebook page. And Betsy, I want to turn now to another area where I know you've been working on a lot, both at the national level and here in New Hampshire, and that's the extremely competitive environment in the news industry today. So many sources, so many different ways of getting news. Just describe this crazy news and information environment and how you see NHPR fitting into that.
Okay, well, that's an easy question, Laura.
In 30 seconds or less.
Things are changing so quickly. It just makes your head spin when you think that Twitter, Facebook, iPhones, iPads, these are all enormously new technologies. And, you know, how many years did it take us to get from the radio to the television? And things are just moving at warp speed. So it's very, very challenging. It's also very exciting because there are so many ways that people can gain access to the information that we provide. You know, we for a while were sort of thinking, well, our core listeners, our baby boomers, you know, they're radio listeners and they're going to stick with us on the radio. But we've got to think about the younger listeners that are coming up, you know, who we've often described in public radio as those backseat listeners who kind of grow into public radio when they get in their late teens and their 20s and they're really devoted listeners in their 30s. They are listening. They're just listening differently. They're listening on their mobile devices. And that's a very different – we have a much more equitable relationship with our listeners. We're not sitting here in the studio just feeding out a stream that we're counting on people to tune in for. The user is in the driver's seat. They can podcast. They can listen on demand. They can curate the programs that they're most interested in. So
they don't have to weed through all the other stuff.
Just as I might be listening to, if I'm down in Boston, I might be listening to WBUR. And if I'm not particularly interested in what they're broadcasting, I could go to GBH, for example, or our listeners on the Upper Valley can go to VPR or, you know, check us out. Whatever, there's some choice. But that's on the radio dial. In this new age, with connected cars, the arrival of connected cars, with people being able to just plug their devices into their car, former car radio, so that they could listen to iTunes or they can listen to downloaded podcasts, infinite opportunities. So, and we know with the national shows, all of the national shows are available on other platforms. So where our really unique place in New Hampshire was that we broadcast this fabulous mix of local, New Hampshire, regional, national, international news. The national and the international, you can get other places. So our challenge is how do we really strengthen our local service? I think of our fiscal year 13, which we've just started, as the year of local news. We've really focused on our newsroom and really making our local news at the very high level that our listeners expect.
Because that's the one thing people can't just download from, you know, PRI or NPR or other sources.
That's right. It is coming from our newsroom. It is coming from our studios with shows like The Exchange, shows like Word of Mouth, even The Folk Show, which is a New Hampshire look at the folk genre. That's been on our air for years, and our listeners love it, and you can't get The Folk Show elsewhere.
Well, it's been kind of fun for us because even though it's a highly competitive environment, sometimes nowadays we will get callers from New York City.
Sure.
Or Florida. And people will say, I'm a snowbird. I live in New Hampshire, you know, during the warm months. And now it's winter, so I'm down here, but I'm still listening. And
right.
I have a question for your guest today.
And that's a great thing. We do, when we look at our web stats, we have visitors to our website from all over the world. They're either people who are interested in the New Hampshire primary, or they lived here, they summered here, and they check in. And that's our world.
Our phone number here in the Exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Betsy Gardella is here, and we want your questions and comments, whether it's our earlier conversation about federal funding of public media or what we're talking about now, the challenges and opportunities of digital media for NHPR. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And here's an email that came in earlier today, Betsy, from Roger in Brentwood. He says, programs like This American Life apparently are withheld from the internet until all of the public radio stations have broadcast them. Roger says, wouldn't it be more fair to those of us who listen on the internet to post a program at the same time it becomes available to stations? With more and more people accessing programs over the internet, does the model of listeners contributing to public radio stations and then stations paying NPR still make sense? Do stations have too much power over programming and the NPR board? It's a great couple questions, actually, that Roger asks there. Let's take the first one first. Is it right that certain programs are withheld from digital listeners, if I can call them that, until they've all been aired traditionally on the radio?
Well, I think this is a question we're going to see probably different answers to over the next 6 to 18 months, because this is a big topic of conversation. This is very much rooted in the financial model of public radio. So New Hampshire Public Radio broadcasts This American Life.
Very popular program.
We pay for that program along with every other station that airs it. If This American Life posted their show before we've had a chance to air it, they'd be giving away what the station's sort of station property, in a sense. You know, it's now it does post quite early in the weekend. I thought it posted at midnight on Saturday, but I could be wrong about that. Our program director would know, and so maybe the guest could. The email author could send an email out to Abby Goldstein and ask her for the details. But that's the way public radio works, is we buy programming. It is unique to us, at least for some period of time. Morning Edition doesn't stream its programming until after it's been aired. All things considered, same thing. Many shows will put their programs up before every station, because you can't control when stations are actually going to air the programs. But the model is we collectively pay for the programs. This American Life, for example, that's distributed by PRI, and it's produced by Chicago Public Radio. So we pay our fees. It goes to those two organizations. And so there's some little hiatus where we get to have that as unique content for our listeners.
Well, if PRI posted This American Life on Friday night, then what reason would anybody have to listen to NHPR on Saturday? And that affects our fundraising. But you can also see where he's coming from. He's hey, if you guys want to be where I am as a listener, and public radio executives like to say we need to be where our listeners are,
right,
you can kind of see where he's coming
from.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it is one of the conundrums that public radio is dealing with. And, you know, how do we adapt more quickly so that this content is available to people and still support ourselves? I mean, one of the other things that's so interesting right now is that, you know, anybody can suck up our program onto their web stream and not pay for it. So somebody's got to pay for it somehow. So we're trying to work that out. It's a very smart question.
Well, Roger, thanks a lot for the email. And our email address again is exchange@nhpr.org. Our number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can post a comment on our Facebook page as well. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And, you know, Betsy, what I just said brings up a question for you. You can post a comment on our Facebook page. Talk about social media in terms of not just being where audiences are, but feeding the programming that we do. You know what I'm saying? It provides an opportunity to enrich and get more of a back and forth with our listeners.
Social media initially was a kind of conundrum for public media because we're not an opinion-based kind of journalism. So the very first kind of social media foray for all of us was the Public Insight Network. And that's an opportunity for listeners to share what they know by registering in a database, and they actually become sort of sources for shows like The Exchange and for a newsroom. And we have, I think, almost 7,000 people registered in that database. So that allows people to engage with us, but in a way that's very consistent with our philosophy of journalism. What we've since learned is that Twitter is a very, very powerful tool for us to communicate with our listeners. And Facebook is an incredible way for us to engage with our listeners. So we have thousands of Facebook followers. I think we're up to about 6,000. We've got a couple of thousand Twitter followers. These are both kind of new efforts for us. But it's really about engagement. I think all of these tools, Facebook, Twitter, commenting online, the Public Insight Network, all of these are opportunities for us to engage with our listeners and have the basic premise that the listeners are sometimes a lot smarter than we are about these topics, and what they have to say really stimulates our thinking and I think makes our work better.
Well, and I like to think that The Exchange is really the NHPR's first foray into social media, because since 1995, right? People have called
Absolutely.
In, enriched the program, share what they know. So we like to say we are the first social media.
I'm totally with you.
Let's take a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And yes, you can post a comment on our Facebook page. Let's go to Derry, and Charlie is on the air. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for calling in with Betsy Gardella.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I love the show, by the way.
Good. Thanks.
My question is, what kind of impact the purchase of PRI by WGBH, if any, will there be to NHPR and other public radio stations?
Thanks a lot for the question, Charlie. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a competitive environment here in New England.
Right.
Our friends at public radio stations out west don't understand. They're the only game in town
right. In
their, you know, corner of these huge states. But lots of NHPR listeners listen to Boston, to Vermont, to Maine.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this the announcement, it was just in the Globe last week, and we got the press release about WGBH purchase of acquisition is the word that they used. And it's frankly a little confusing to me. It's an acquisition of PRI, which gives them a distribution arm, which is similar to Minnesota Public Radio. Their distribution arm is American Public Media. So, you know, we're seeing this a little bit at stations. NPR is the only distributor of national programs that does not operate any public radio stations. And PRI was the second, but now PRI is under the umbrella of GBH. I don't know what it means. I've found it confusing because no money has changed hands. PRI will keep its board, will raise its budget, but their senior executive, Elisa Miller, will report into John Abbott, who's the head of WGBH. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time for us to understand what kind of impact this might have on us. GBH and PRI are longtime partners. They developed The World together. They've developed with WNYC in New York a morning show called The Takeaway. They know PRI very well. So I'm not quite sure where the synergies are and where the advantages will be for those two organizations. But I suspect that it will not make a dramatic difference for us as an independent public radio station.
Well, Charlie, thanks a lot for the question. And again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And let's go next to Joanne in Concord. Hi, Joanne. You're on the air with Betsy Gardella. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Betsy, too. I've lived in Concord for a long time, and actually was one of the founding people when the WVO came on the air. But I'm unhappy that you're broadcasting an HD signal for two reasons. One is I think it's a waste of resources, and secondly, it obscures the adjacent signals from your center frequency channel. For instance, WGBH is diminished in reception quality in Concord. So I wondered if you could tell me why you are continuing to power your signals. I understand the listenership on HD is almost non-existent, and the HD radios in the cars are not technically up to snuff.
Okay, well, thanks for the question. And without getting too detailed, Betsy, what is HD radio?
I can't get too detailed. This is kind of a question for our engineering team, but there was a move, just as we've seen in television, everything has gone to HD, and there's been a parallel move in radio to transition to HD. And there was a belief, literally 10 years ago, that HD was the next big thing in radio. And that's just not proven to be the case. As the caller said, people don't have HD radios, and we're not seeing HD radios in cars. So, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of these transitions of our transmitters to digital came with the requirement that we use that capacity, that we broadcast in HD. I would encourage this caller to send me an email at bgardella@nhpr.org, and I will actually get our engineers to respond to you, because the question of our HD signal compromising WGBH's signal in the capital region is one that I've not heard that before. So I'd love to be able to get back to you. But I think the future of HD remains to be seen. And I think you're focusing in on something that, again, it's the downside of this rapid technology change. I think people are trying to stay at the crest of the wave on these changes, and not all of them are going to pan out.
Thanks for that call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Betsy, this is a big question, so I'll give you a quick crack at it now as we go into the break. We talk about younger audiences wanting to get content in different ways, and we've talked a lot about that. What about the content itself? Do people under 35 want different content on public radio, or do they just want to access it differently?
Well, there's definitely the access question, and we've talked about that. In terms of different content, I don't know. I don't know the research. I know when we are with a group of young professionals. We host the young professional organizations here on a pretty regular basis, and when we sort of reorganized our community advisory board, we were lucky enough to have a lot of young people under the age of 40 anyway. I think that's pretty young.
And hang on there. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we'll take that after a short break for sure. Finding out whether younger audiences just want to access our content differently or they want different content. More on that after a short break. So we'll be right back.
This is NHPR, coming up at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, the financial future of the U.S. Postal Service. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Griponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Griponi Auto Junction Inbo and online 24 hours a day at griponi.com. And Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, offering tune-ups, repairs, and efficient air conditioning systems, including ductless AC for homes without ductwork. Online at justcallheritage.com. This is NHPR.
Past early bird winners of NHPR's summer car raffle did pretty well, with $2,000 worth of gas gift cards from Irving Oil.
My son and daughter-in-law, they easily got a couple of months out of their cars, and ours lasted 4 months.
I was able to use that gas card from July through the middle of November.
For 11 months, we have not paid for gas.
How far would they take you? One way to find out is to get your $50 raffle tickets at nhpr.org by August 4th.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, adapting to climate change. Email us your thoughts before the program at exchange@nhpr.org. And be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, we're sitting down with NHPR President and CEO Betsy Gardella. We've been looking at the federal funding situation in terms of public media, examining that debate. We'll take your questions on that. We've also been looking at the tremendous challenges and opportunities that new digital media platforms offer us here at NHPR and in public radio in general. Our phone number again is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And Betsy, just before the break, we were talking about reaching out to younger audiences. But during the break, our engineer, head of our engineering, came in and talked about what we were talking about before with how we called it high definition, but it's HD radio, the caller.
Right.
Nathan told us that it's hybrid digital and that it is obscuring, it can obscure other signals because both the HD and FM signal fit into the same channel that the FCC has allocated. So there we have it from our top-notch engineering crew, that question that we had about WGBH's signal being compromised by our HD signal. So I hope that answers that question for that listener. The content then, Betsy. Do younger listeners want to listen to the same stuff that you and I want to listen to?
Right. I think the answer is mostly yes. We know that young people today, teenagers, 20-somethings, are passionate news junkies. When public radio first started, we used to say that people start listening to public radio in their 30s when they're married and they have kids who are going to public school and they're paying taxes, and suddenly they become more interested in the world around them. But I think because young people have had access to the world via the internet for their entire lives, they are connected to news and information in a different way. And because they've sat in the back seat listening to public radio with their parents, they know about NHPR. So, but when we entertain groups of young professionals, I'll say, "How many of you listen to the radio?" And a surprising number of them raise their hands. And I'll say, "How many of you listen to NHPR?" Then I'll say, "How many of you listen on the radio?" Most of the hands go down.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And they listen on their smartphones, or they'll listen on their computer. They'll stream. And the shows that they love are This American Life. They love Radiolab. They love Planet Money. As you might guess, they're not so keen on shows like A Prairie Home Companion. The shows that we know from our audience data do skew a little bit older. And plus, they're the shows that our longtime audience has affection for. So although everyone seems to love Car Talk, everyone seems to love Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So I think that there is a kind of freshness,
slightly edgier sensibility to those shows.
Edgier, more atmospheric. I mean, it kind of takes the qualities of craft and the human voice that we so value in public radio and puts them a little bit more out there on the edge. And I think that appeals. But Morning Edition and All Things Considered seem to be staples for our younger listeners.
Let's take another call. This is Jerry in Manchester. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have midweek days off, and I'm always listening to NPR, and I really enjoy it. But I have one problem, and you've probably heard this before. You guys lean off a lot to the left, you know, and this whole thing about Mitt Romney's gaffes, it's like, you know, I'm getting kind of tired of it. I'm sure other people are, too. Could we be a little more balanced in our reporting?
Thanks a lot for the call. And, you know, this is an issue that comes up time and time again. I get it when I go out to speak to groups as well. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the thought.
Yeah, no, I have to say, I think we do. I think we do a very good job of telling both sides of the story.
Now, when you say "we," I'm sorry to interrupt you, but "we" meaning NHPR or NPR?
Well, I think both. And as an NPR board member, this is certainly a conversation that we have at the NPR board level. You know, there is this accusation of liberal bias, and I've heard people say, well, there's Fox News on the right and there's public radio on the left. And I say, no, no, no. Maybe there's Fox News on the right and maybe there's MSNBC on the left. I think we're firmly in the middle. You know, if you did a count of the story topics, the story guests, if you just went down the line and did the numbers, I think you would find a great deal of balance in the topics we choose and those we ask to speak to them. So we don't always get it right, but we certainly do try.
Well, here's an email to that same point. And Jerry, thank you again for calling in. Christopher in Manchester says, could Betsy address the perceived liberal bias? I listen a lot and agree there is, despite claims to the contrary. Christopher says, and I appreciate this, Christopher, he says, the exchange is an anomaly, truly fair and balanced. So thanks for that, Christopher. You do hear it, Betsy. You can say no, no, no all you want, but then there are entertainment programs like... like Prairie Home Companion. Sure, they're entertainment, but the hosts of those programs do pick on, you know, conservatives more than they do liberals.
Well, I would say...
So does that tarnish the brand, having
well,
those entertainment
I think it's
programs?
A really good question. And you know, I Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me will poke fun at whoever is in any seat of power. There, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is sort of like... The Daily Show in that way. You know, it's sort of who's ever in the White House is going to take it on the chin, but or who's ever running for political office is going to be a target. You know, Garrison Keillor is somebody who shows his politics, and that's something that many of us in public radio have voiced concern about.
Really?
Many say it's an entertainment show. It's not a news show. But this is public radio where we value that sense of balance. And, you know, we don't talk about our personal politics. And we have rules here at NHPR about no bumper stickers, no lawn signs. You know, we try to stay very, very neutral. Prairie Home Companion is not an NPR show. It's not an NHPR show. It is produced by American Public Media in Minnesota. It's sort of an institution. I think Garrison's kind of a legend, and he takes creative license or political license, as the case may be.
Well, we could talk about this for many more minutes, but so many emails have come in, Betsy, and I really want to share them with you. Here's one from Jeff. NHPR is commercial in all but name and extent right now. The difference is that other stations call them advertisers and NHPR calls them donors. I find it hard to believe that NHPR couldn't raise an extra $700K by going full on commercial, but creatively so. Jeff says, if NHPR took the opposite approach of the NRA and other advocacy groups and declared a goal of becoming self-sufficient in, say, a decade, I'm sure the public would be more inclined to work in terms of seeing where the financing can be cut, not paring away the essentials too quickly. So, you know, basically saying, look, we already air commercials. We could probably go full steam ahead and do without the federal funding. Two important points there, I think, Jeff raises. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, I would say that we don't air commercials. There are we call them underwriting announcements. We're very, very limited in what we can say. You only hear an NHPR voice. You don't hear produced commercials. You don't hear jingles. There are no calls to action. There's no mention of money. There's very little retail on our air because retail advertising is about sales. We don't promote sales. We use no qualitative language. It's all descriptive language. We will not say you are the best, or we will not say you are the most valued. We are very, very clear in our language, and we are regulated by the FCC.
Oh, really? So you couldn't go on and say, you know, we have New Hampshire's best dentists in our group.
We could not. We could not. We would be in violation, and we could be fined by the FCC. So what? That's the situation now. Now, the gentleman who sent in the email has brought something up that many public radio professionals are talking about. If the federal funding goes away, will the FCC loosen those guidelines for underwriting, thereby giving public radio stations an opportunity to generate more revenue with that corporate underwriting?
That's interesting.
The other side of that, the concern side of that is... we don't want to spoil our brand. I mean, one of the pleasures of public radio is that we have so few minutes of corporate underwriting, which is pretty benign compared to a commercial radio station that has 12 to 20 minutes of advertising per hour. That is how they support themselves and make their money. So can we really be the public radio station that we all know and love if we turn to advertising as a solution to what might just be a financial problem.
Well, and I appreciate Jeff's email because that's a question that I get a lot too. Come on, aren't those really commercials? So in the public's right. mind, it's all kind of mushed together.
Yeah.
Let's take another email. This is from Robert in Nashua. He says, have you considered forming a technology advisory board? A lot of your listeners have a good idea of what technology you folks should be considering, and a board like this would help you stay on top of this fast-moving technology. Robert, great question. Thank you.
Great idea. Send me an email.
I'll give you
seriously.
This. Yeah.
Seriously. It is something that we have talked about, and possibly there would be a role for some really strong technical folks on our community advisory board. That could be a great place because that is a that's a group that meets a couple of times a year. They serve as really a focus group for us to give us their feedback on programming and on our news and on our community service and the policies that we're putting into place, because this is a public trust. We rely on listeners to help us think through the service that we're providing. So there are lots of ways, but this idea of setting up a technology advisory group is one that we've had. So I would love to hear from Robert.
And again, it's bgardella@nhpr.org.
Easy.
And
yep.
Gardella is spelled just the way it sounds.
Just the way it sounds.
Okay. You know, we've talked about your leadership here at NHPR, Betsy, and the many, many things going on and your work at NPR. NPR has a new president, Gary Nell, not even in office a year. He came in late last year. What's he doing and saying about some of these challenges, including the funding?
Well, Gary is just terrific. We are thrilled with him. He comes to NPR with, you know, 20 years of leadership experience in a very large and complex company. He was at Sesame Workshop, which is not just Sesame Street, but it is, you know, a global company doing tremendously innovative work around the world, educating children and educating families. He's led this very impressive program directed at the families of veterans, for example. He's just, I think, just what NPR needs right now in its history. He knows how to run an organization. He understands ethics and politics and financial management and fundraising. He has lots of relationships on Capitol Hill, so he's been able to be a sound, incredible voice for public media on Capitol Hill. He's also enormously pragmatic, and he really understands that we have a revenue problem. You know, we've got to understand how to invest and how to experiment and how to hold costs down. And
right, we've done it this way for so long.
All things to all people. And how do you take a fresh look when you've got people who are so invested in a certain way of doing things? NPR now has 17 bureaus around the world. They have reporters all across the country. Is there a way that they can partner with member stations so that right now member stations provide about 35% of the stories that you hear in Morning Edition and All Things Considered? What really is the model there? That's kind of developed over the years. But is there a way that we could partner more closely with NPR so that NPR and communities around the country can take advantage of what we know here in New Hampshire and vice versa with the other terrific news stations that we have? There's a project that we've started called State Impact. I'm sure our listeners have been hearing the series that we have on the air right now, Getting By, Getting Ahead. And this is a collaboration with public radio, with NPR and 8 states. We were lucky enough to be chosen as one of the 8 pilots for this project.
Let's take one more call, if we could, Betsy, before
sure.
we close out. This is Gwen in Portsmouth. And Gwen, thanks a lot. We're slipping you under the line here.
Hi, good morning. I just, as a progressive liberal from a very sort of intellectual progressive family, I find NPR, if anything, certainly leaning to the right. I think that all the callers saying that NPR leans to the right are indicative of the whole country kind of moving so far to the right.
What you mean moving anything, to, we got 2 comments earlier, Gwen, we're to left.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm
okay,
saying
you said
anything,
right.
You're to the right. I think the country in general has moved so far to the right that anything sort of truth-driven or in the middle or certainly to the right just I mean, to the left, I see what you're saying, just seems crazy. So I think that the accusations that you're to the left are just crazy. Being to the left, it generally means telling the truth, so it shouldn't even be considered a criticism.
Well, Gwen, thank you for chiming in, and thanks for listening. And Betsy, there you have it.
Well, it's when you think you're doing a good job, when some think you're too far to the right, some think you're too far to the left. We always keep an eye on it. I know that the Exchange is always looking at that editorial balance. And I know it's a huge topic for the national shows. So I really appreciate the comment. NPR has an ombudsman that tracks this kind of thing too, and I would encourage Gwen to contact the ombudsman at NPR, because so much of the content that comes down, especially the drive time content, all things considered in Morning Edition, so much of what listeners hear. So if you'd like to register your comment with the NPR ombudsman, that would be a great thing to do and a great help to all of us, I think.
All right. And again, maybe the next time we talk, Betsy, we'll talk more about this is the year of local radio here at NHPR.
Yes.
That's what you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to just broaden, expand the local programs like The Exchange and others.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we now have word of mouth as a weekend show. We'd like to have more of a presence on the weekend. We are committed to improving our newscast during this season. We have a reporter up in the North Country, a big strategic goal for us, and this is an aspirational goal at the moment, but we would love to have a reporter in every region of the state reporting from those communities. So there's a lot that we think we can do. We just have to set our priorities.
Well, Betsy, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, Laura, my pleasure.
Betsy Gardella, NHPR President and CEO. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.